You're listening to the Viral Molly Podcast. Now here's your host, Rob, on the mic.
Hey everyone, I'm Robin Sparrow for the Viral Volley Podcast. Got David Hunt of Pepperdine, Dan Friend of Lewis, and Jay Hosick of George Mason University here to recap week 8 and look into week 9 and dive into some of the things we've been seeing around the nation in D1-2 volleyball. Gentlemen, first thing we've been doing, COVID scorecard, 2 weeks in a row, zero COVID cancellations, zero inclement weather cancellations, which, I mean, that's a very positive thing as we go into spring. So I'm excited that there have been no cancellations, but we've seen a lot of abnormalities because of the way scheduling is happening. Teams playing each other two times in a day or three times in a week is what we're going to see this week. But we're just happy to have volleyball back on the court and seeing it on streams. So wanted to start off with going over the conference recap of what's going on. Conference Carolinas, we talked about a little bit earlier in the volleyballmag.com discussion, but Mount Olive, no longer unblemished. They had an upset by King, but talk about what's going on in that conference over there. We're going to start with Dave Hunt.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it for a few weeks. Mount Olive is a good team. You know, King, I think they're perceived as down, but they've been maybe the top of that conference for, what, 3 years? Is that right? 2 or 3 years? So, you know, you're going to see the same thing in their conference as you are in all of our other conferences. It's just familiarity and knowing each other. And nobody's going to get through this season without losses and probably without a significant amount of them as we start going 2 and 3 times through this lineup.
Yep. How about you, Dan? Conference Carolina's outtake.
Yeah, I think Dave hit it. I think you're going to see some teams beating each other. That we talk about the, you know, Mount Olive getting upset by King and a great performance by Joshua Kim in terms of that. But then ultimately King takes a couple losses after that. So they get a significant win, but then they take a couple losses. And so I think you're going to see a lot of that going on. Certainly Mount Olive has separated themselves a little bit. Even North Greenville, they're doing some great things in terms of how they're playing. I think Jay had touched base on them last week, and Fred Battlefield is doing a great job with his group of guys. And so, so curious to see as those guys get down into the thick of March in terms of the grind. So,
all right. How about you, Jay? Take on the Conference Carolinas.
They both hit it on the head. I'm going to give a dark horse. Belmont Abbey might come out of nowhere. They're a good team with some good guys on it too. And they're, you know, they've struggled a little bit here and there, but they're a solid core of guys that can play the game real well. And, you know, Mount Olive, North Greenville, King, and others, Belmont Abbey, they're going to be really, really good. And don't sleep on Barton. Barton's still got some good kids on that team too. So it's going to be a really big dogfight coming down the line here, especially with conference playoffs come around to town.
Gotcha. They came out with their conference awards, a player of the week, Joshua Kim of King, and specialist of the week, JT Deppy, also of King. So it's a King sweep of that conference. Let's jump over to Jay's home conference at EIVA, where Penn State and NJIT have risen to the top at 9-1. Jay, what's happening in your conference?
Well, those two teams have both separated themselves from the rest of the pack by the level of their play. And, you know, when they played at Penn State a few weeks ago, NJIT, for the first time, I think in either the program history or in a long time, beat Penn State. And they beat them 3-0. Now, that was a team that did not have Brett Wildman on the court during that match. But I'll be honest with you, I still think NJIT would have won that match. I think NJIT is a complete team. They've got a couple of middle blockers that are doing some really nice things. Luca Berger and Martin de Chavaria, I believe is how you pronounce it. another fiery Spaniard. You know, the middle
blocker. Are you sure he's from Spain? I mean, just got to clarify that.
Yeah, the middle blocker is from Spain. And Luca Berger is from Brazil.
Just check him. Yeah,
but no, they both are really good. And then you got Meissner, the German on the opposite, 6'9" lefty, and the kid just brings a ton of heat. So, you know, everybody can see Jimeno, but he's got pieces around him. And Jens Feldus, the other outside hitter, can crush us all weekend. And it's not that we didn't pay attention to him, but we didn't pay enough attention to him. So that team going down the line, them and Penn State are going to be the two that are going to be battling for hosting rights in the EIVA. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
All right. Anything to add, gentlemen? Dan, Dave?
No, I just, being somebody who played NJIT early, I'm not surprised. I think they were still trying to figure out their setter and how he kind of fit into the mix. And he's getting better and better with those pieces that Jay talked about, which is just going to make them more deadly. I think Penn State certainly is good, but I thought the growth room for NJIT with their setter compared to where Penn State's growth could be was bigger. So they would kind of be my pick. And then it'll be interesting to see how the middle, I mean, Jay's got a great group. Charleston's starting to play better. St. Francis finally got a couple wins, do you know what I mean? And Fisher had a really great weekend in terms of that. And so, you know, I think they've got some middle ground teams that certainly can take out either one of those top teams as well. So,
just want to say the setter for NJIT is Fissler, Griffin Fissler, the true freshman from Jersey. So anything else to add, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, Jay's been calling it, you know, like the crazy person in the movie that's saying the sky is falling and then the world starts to end, you know, or Armageddon. He's been saying for weeks, NJIT is legit, NJIT is legit. And then we saw it a little bit when Dan played at St. Francis, I think it was, that you guys played him. And so, yeah, it's no shock for anybody. I think I'm one of the few people that listens to Jay once in a while. So I believe you, Jay. There you go.
He's got 14 kids on his bench too, that maybe every once in a while.
There's a sucker born every minute, isn't there?
All right, let's go to Dan's home conference, the MIVA, where McKendree is alone at the top at 7-0 on an 8-match winning streak. Lewis, Dan's team, 5-2 on a 2-match winning streak. What's happening in your conference, Dan?
Well, I think we were the lone ones to play this weekend because of our COVID stuff, so we had a match rescheduled. Everybody else kind of had their off week, and then everybody starts again with the travel partner play coming up this next weekend. But, yeah, there's a bunch of teams in the middle. Ohio State's been playing well, gotten some wins. They're going to play Ball State again. Ball State has taken a couple losses. Purdue-Fort Wayne, we're coming off that win at Loyola, and Loyola's got to go there. So I was curious to see if Cole Schaffauer is back on the court for Loyola. I know he was battling an injury. And so you got a bunch of teams in the middle, and then McKendree has separated themselves. We all knew McKendree was going to be good. I knew they were going to be good. And they've got a core group that's back playing good volleyball. We get another crack at them at their place. And I know my guys are fired up to play that match. And so, but, and then McKendree's got, you know, this second half, they got to play, I believe, Purdue, Ball State, and Loyola. So that's three tough matches in the middle. I don't remember which ones are home or away, but that'll really test those guys. And if McKendree comes out on top, well-deserved for those guys. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. How about an outsider's take? Jay or Dave, anything to add about Dan's conference, Amoeba?
Yeah, they're good. McKendree's good. And Dan, like me here in the IVA talking about NJIT, we've all been talking about McKendree for a while. And Nikki's just building that program slowly and steadily. And now they're starting to show not necessarily the dominance, but just the hard work that they put in the last few years, trying to get these kids to, you know, figure out what it takes to be successful at the next level. And I think you look at the other teams in the MIVA. Yeah, that the top obviously is a top, but that bottleneck of the 2 through 5, 2 through 6 teams, man, that's a tough conference to get out of. And so all of those teams and rightfully so, any of them can beat anybody on any given night. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch when tournament time comes around.
Yep. Anything else to add, Dave?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Jay just said. And when you build a program the right way, it's going to take time, right? So Nikki has done it the right way. The ones that you see that aren't sustainable are the ones where you get a foreigner, he takes you on a 2 or 3 year run, and then you just fall right back down, right? And Nikki's been doing it the right way. So I think people have seen that for years come in. It starts with a shocking win. Quote unquote shocking win, and then it builds up to, well, now they're just really good, right? And I think they're ranked 6 or something like that, and deservedly so. And so I don't think it's shocking to anybody. And then, yeah, conference playoff time, it's going to be interesting, you know, because those are good teams in the middle of the pack. We were just talking about Loyola and Ohio State a few weeks ago, and they're good.
Yep. As of the time of our recording, the MIVA Conference Awards hadn't been released yet. I've been looking for that just because I wanted to add that in there because we're getting some new names in the mix. But we'll I'll update in the comments section later today in our discussions. Let's jump over to Dave's home conference at MPSF, where BYU is at top at 8-2 which kind of shocking the standings. UCLA is listed second, 8-3, and Pep 7-2 in third, Victory and Canyon 2-4 in fourth. What's happening in your conference, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is it's total wins that wins it. So we only go to win percentage if there's a tie in wins. So it's a rat race to see who can get a lot of wins. Worley over here just teasing us all. You know, they split with BYU and then they don't play for freaking 2 weeks. So, yeah, what was it? Rob Worley's Wonder Kids, I think is what you called them. Yeah. So
they're recharging on their superpowers.
Yeah, for sure. Whatever they're doing in the desert over there. Yeah, so a lot of teams were off. We saw Stanford, you know, and you could probably start a whole debate on if it's your last year, do you play everybody or do you try to compete and sort of shove it to your university and say, hey, we're a competitive program. We're going to try to win a national championship. But it seems like John's going with playing a lot of his guys. So we saw some mixed lineups against UCLA, some good performances from UCLA. I think they hit a nation high hitting efficiency the first night, I think, you know, 550. So you're okay, you know, hitting 550. And in what world, I think the ABCA rankings came out, where did UCLA get ranked? But in what world are they like 9th or 10th in the country? That's BS. Because they got a lot of talent. And I don't know if you guys know, but their coach is also the national team coach. So yeah, he happens to know what he's doing. The fact that anybody ranks them real low is baffling to me, but yeah.
They are at 8th, just for clarification, while Grand Canyon at 2-4 is at 7. So it's just interesting. Polling is a mess this year. I mean, so
yeah, it's, I mean, and I think that goes back to Grand Canyon playing UCLA pretty competitive. In the first match of the year, and Worley didn't start his starters. So maybe some people are looking at that. I know I look at that match and say, hey, you know, if GCU played what we would perceive as their starters, you know, do they win that match? Maybe. I don't know.
So. Yeah. Well, how about the outsiders take, Dan and Jay?
I'll throw a curveball on Dave's UCLA thing. What are their three losses? Concordia?
BYU? Yeah, Concordia, BYU. USC, and BYU. Yep.
Yeah, so I think the Concordia USC kind of throws that for a loop. You know what I mean? I'm just in terms of UCLA is pretty good, but then you got a couple losses that you're kind of surprised that they probably took. You know what I mean in terms of that? But I don't know. Yep. Just another way to look at it. But I think Dave talked about it. I'm really curious with Pep and UCLA. Does Pep go in there and crush UCLA twice, and Pep kind of separates himself? Is it a back and forth match with those guys? And yeah. Grand Canyon taking 2 weeks off. I don't get that. It was just unfortunate timing with the schedule. I wouldn't want to take 2 weeks off in case I was forced to. I'd want to be in. I think because what you're seeing, I think I was talking with somebody, is that we're all getting better because we never got the fall and we didn't get the normal preseason. So every week we're trying to figure things out. The teams that are ahead, I think, are the teams that have some of these pieces. So and this is where I have Dave spot on with UCLA. UCLA's got all these pieces, but he's trying to work through what the best lineup is. So I see those guys just getting better and better. You know, McKendry already had all those pieces, so we knew they were going to be good. So are they sustaining that? You know what I mean? NGIT has a new setter. How do these pieces develop? So I just think Ohio State, bunch of new pieces, they're going to get better and better. And so you're this time for training and development that would usually happen in the fall is now happening during the season, which is certainly a different take in terms of that. But yeah, want to see Pep UCLA and BYU plays Concordia. Am I correct on that?
BYU plays Stanford. Stanford goes two there. And from what I'm hearing, fans are going to, it's a limited number of fans are going to be allowed at the match. So it'll be one of the few matches that there will be a fan base. I don't know how many, but
I wonder if they're going to put those floor seats at the service lines in.
Ooh, that seems like that might not be safe for the participants. But
COVID, that's not safe.
Yeah. But you know what, Dan, I'm gonna go back to what you were saying about Worley for GCU. My guess is they're sort of victim to us only playing conference matches. Right. You know, and it's them and BYU are the two that you'd have to travel to. And I think in the original schedule, this might have been an off week for them. And unfortunately, that's just the way it's set up. But I mean, anybody knows Worley, he wants to be playing matches. And unfortunately, when we made this decision to go conference only, you know, them and BYU get affected a little bit by it.
Yeah. All right, Jay, anything else to add on the MPSF?
Yeah, I'll be brief here. First of all, just because Spurrell's the national team coach doesn't mean they get any more vote preference. Obviously, he might know a few things about coaching volleyball. I'll give him that. But, you know, I voted UCLA lower than normal. And the reason why is because I think there's some other impressive teams that are doing better things. And listen, you're looking at all the volley talkers and they're complaining about only a few coaches that put McKendree ahead of Lewis. I put McKendree ahead of Lewis. It's a known thing. And so did Dan and so did Dave. So, you know, we might know
a teacher in the choir here.
Blasphemy.
and shocker, I didn't put Long Beach State in at all. They're the only team that have, and them in Northridge that haven't played any matches.
Let me text Alan Knipe here.
Yeah, that's the other baffling.
I'm sorry.
That's the other baffling.
I don't know what you look like, but I put everybody else in the hands and people that have they earn some respect for that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's not a slam against Allen's program. It just is what it is. I'll tell you, I'm going to go the opposite direction here. Stanford and USC are the two teams that I'm watching, and here's why. I agree with Dave. Do you play everybody? And just kind of go, hey, we're just going to play and let everybody enjoy this last season. Or do you try to go for an actual national championship or a conference championship, you know, to give a big FU to the Stanford athletic department? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know what I would do. You'd like to think that you could send a message if you win something and say, you shouldn't be cutting this program and we've raised all this money, let's have it. But I don't know if that's really going to make a difference. And I think the AD is just kind of looking at them going, hey, as long as they don't give us a headache, we don't care about them anymore. And then you got to look at it and go, hey, I need to give everybody as positive an experience as I can. So that's probably what I would do. The real other one is USC. They are over since they beat UCLA in the first match of the year. Now they come close. They went 5 a couple times. But I'm wondering what's going on. Are they just playing good teams that are beating them? Or is there something else going on in the gym that we don't know about? Maybe an injury, maybe an illness, you know, whatever the case is. But I want to see what USC is going to do down the line. Are they going to be able to step up? Because that's a notorious powerhouse that historically has been really good. So,
yeah. Well, we're going to do the group collab for collaboration for the Big West. I'm going to start off by saying, hey, Cal State Northridge and Long Beach State, official start March 20th. That's just under 2 weeks away. And Northridge plays Irvine in a back-to-back or a home and away series. Long Beach State just looked up. We'll be playing Santa Barbara to kick off their season in Santa Barbara in the back of Long Beach a couple days later. So we'll start with Dan on this one, on what he views as happening in the Big West.
Well, certainly great to see Santa Barbara play and see those guys. They've got a good group, some great pieces. And so I enjoyed watching that match the other day against Irvine. And so, sorry, Rob. So, but. Okay. Irvine looked like they started setting a little better, which was good because they were doing some nice things. So that was a good thing. And then certainly the Hawaii-Santa Barbara match that we talked about is going to be great to see. So, and as well as San Diego and Irvine, because like we said, both 0-4 teams, but both have some great pieces. I'm going to call Irvine on the win on this. I just think San Diego can't lean on one guy too much. You know what I mean? In terms of that. So, but I'm going to kind of lean towards Irvine a little bit, but how games is Long Beach and Northridge going to get in? 10? 8? Does anybody know? I just didn't have
it's 10. And, 10? Hearing the discussion, they basically, if someone gets COVID, and they're going to be hosed when it comes to tournament consideration because there's no cushion, whereas the other team scheduled that extra time just in case they have to reschedule matches. Yeah. So that's what works against.
I can't wait for our viral podcast on selection shows. Great, you know what I mean? So,
we'll do a group Zoom on that one.
Oh, it'll be so good. So, anyway, that's kind of my take. I think you guys a couple of great matches that could separate number one and number two, and I guess currently number 5 and number 6 because the other ones haven't played yet. So, yeah.
Yep. How about you, Dave? What's your take on the Big West?
I'm with Dan in terms of the Irvine and San Diego matches, and what people don't talk about is San Diego losing their setter. We were talking off air about it. That's a big piece to lose. I don't care, you know, if you return everybody, but you lose your setter, it's real tough. So Connor Walbrecht did a really good job for them last year. And he did a lot of other good things, right? He was a good server. He's a good defender. He ran the offense the way that they wanted to run it. So we'll see how they continue to do. And then Irvine, we know they have some firepower, but first and second contact gets a little shaky at times. So that'll come with some reps. And yeah, the Hawaii Santa Barbara matches, those will be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And Jay.
I know firsthand how losing your starting setter can affect your team. You know, that's how we did it at Penn State a couple weeks ago. And we lost our other setter for this last weekend. So we literally have not had two setters in the gym for the last 2 weeks. And so that's got to affect not only the matches, but it affects your practices. You know, when you don't have a setter that can run an offense on the other side of the net during practice and push your team, it's really, really tough to win. I wish San Diego was going to be 100% healthy this weekend, because I'll tell you what, I think they're going to beat UCI if they did. And I think the challenge, obviously, you know, I went on to look at Hawaii's schedule. They've been off the island for a few weeks now. Do they have any home matches? I went to look at their schedule, and it's not even listed. It's like an error code. You can't even find it. So I think it's a bummer that the Big West decided to only go conference only once they started. It because of a team needs 10 matches. You know, everybody in Southern California is a stone's throw away from each other. They could have tried to schedule something on a midday or some or midweek somewhere to be able to get a match should they lose one due to COVID or any other reason. So I think that's a big miss, and I'm sure they're pretty disappointed about that. But hey, at the time when they made the schedule, they did what they had to do in order to move forward. So, you know, hopefully it doesn't come back to bite anybody in the ass, but you never know.
Well, I think Niffin scheduled the last two Hawaii matches right before the Big West tournament. So I think UC Irvine, the entire team's going to be in Hawaii the last month of the season. So, yeah, good planning for Niff. Family vacation.
Yeah. It's good work if you can get it.
Now, I don't know if you guys noticed this on Sunday's matches at UCSB, but if you're watching the feed, you actually saw Niffin setting some reps and hitting lines because they only had one setter dressed. It was their true freshman, Dylan Jai. So it was back to his Loyola Marymount days. Yep, that's right. He played with Rick McLaughlin, who is now the Santa Barbara coach back in the day. But apparently Irvine only had one available setter for the weekend series, and they did a really good job. They moved Francesco Sani back to the left side rather than opposite. I mean, you can see Niffin's playing with all his pieces. So we just don't know the potential of the Irvine team, which could be the dark horse in the conference in my eyes. But I'm a homer because that's my place. But, you know, always optimistic about my home team. But I'm really, really curious to see what Long Beach is going to come out with because of the loss of Carlos Rivera. Does Aiden Knight, Al's son, take the helm at setter, or does he have a secret weapon he's developing in the gym? So, you know, all these question marks still for the Long Beach State team for me. So,
yeah. And like I tell everybody around the country in these coaching clinics, you have no eligibility left, coaches. Don't step on the court. But I totally get why Niffin's doing it. He needs it in order for his, you know, his warm-up, his protocol to be able to go smoothly. But that's got to be kind of fun. Was he wearing a suit, or was he wearing like a, you know, warm-up or something like that?
I'm going to go with a pullover sweatshirt or sweater, you know, but that's just my guess.
Sweater vest for sure, you know what I mean? So.
I know we normally take questions here, fans listen to questions, but I dropped the ball, so I'll fall on the sword on that one. But I know these gentlemen look forward to hearing what you guys have to ask of them, and you know, it's going to be a fun week, no doubt. Oh, there you go. Well, I'll be sure to post nice and early so we can double down for next week's episode, but we do have a bunch of good matches that we talked about in the volleyballmag.com piece. Gentlemen, I appreciate your time and your contributions, your intellect, wisdom, and insight to NCAA Division I-II volleyball. That's David Hunter Pepperdine, Dan Friend of Lewis, and Jay Hosick of George Mason. Good luck to your matches this week. Be following online. Check the streams, their social media feeds for all the good information. And be sure to support their programs in a very passive way, which is just following what they're doing, liking, sharing, and getting the word out on NCAA Division I-II volleyball. Have a great week, gentlemen.
Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.